I named my sermon Overcoming Fear, and I know we've talked a lot about fear. I'm not very original in my terminology. I looked a year ago, about this time of year, I preached on fear. but this is, I'm going to boil it down a little bit to not so much what's going on in our world, what's causing us to fear, but I want to take a look today at personal fear. We all have some fears, we all have some phobias that God wants us to be free of. He wants us to be released. Some of us are dealing with some things that we should have dealt with years ago, and we haven't faced them, we haven't conquered them in our own personal life. And because we haven't, it has hindered us in our walk maybe with God and maybe being used by God, stepping out, or maybe in any area, maybe in your work, maybe in your home life, whatever it is. I believe sometimes there are fears and phobias, and that's what we're going to focus on a little bit, phobias here today, that God wants us to see us through. So as people, we have a predisposition to expect the worst to happen. There's just something about us that, you know, Murphy's Law, if something bad's going to happen, right? it's going to happen. You know, when you're working on a project, how many realize that it's going, think, man, this is going really great, and then one thing happens and kind of upsets the apple cart, and it kind of makes a simple thing complicated. And so we kind of have that disposition. There is a difference between real trouble and imaginary trouble. How many know that? And so we're going to kind of define that a little bit here today. I read a story about three women from Nashville who anxiously ventured into New York City despite their fear of being mugged. Sure enough, as they were in that hotel elevator, a huge black man entered, and when the doors closed, he said, "Sit down." Guess what the three women did? They immediately squatted and sat down on the floor, scared out of their wits. But nothing else happened until the elevator stopped at the lobby and the man got out. That night, when they got back to their hotel room, they found a dozen roses awaited them in their room. And there was a card with it that read, "Please accept these flowers and my apology. You must not have seen my dog when I told it to sit. I was embarrassed and did not know what to do, so I just got off. I'm sorry." And the card was signed, Reggie Jackson. So what is fear? What is fear? And we're going to define it here. I have a definition for you. It's an unpleasant emotion caused by the belief that someone, something, or some event is dangerous, likely to cause pain or threat. If you'll keep that definition up there for me. We're just going to look at a few words here. Emotions. How many know our emotions are unstable and they shift from moment to moment at times? They're affected by what's going on inside of us. Sometimes they're affected by those things that are going on around us. And our emotions are easily manipulated. And so emotions, we can't live by our emotions, church. It's a dangerous place to be. But a lot of people are living by their emotions. That word likely, it says there, they're likely to cause pain or threat. How many of you know that's not a guarantee? Probably 90, 95% of what we worry about doesn't even happen. That word belief, the belief that someone, something, or some event is dangerous. Fear is like belief. It's like faith. If we don't exercise, if we don't act on it, guess what? Nothing happens, right? Even in our faith with Jesus Christ, if we're not actively living it out, it is of no use. And if we don't act out upon our fears, guess what? Nothing's going to happen. So we know that fear is intangible. We can't touch it. We can't grasp it. We can't sense it with our five senses. But a lot of what we base our fears on is maybe past experiences. How many know that if you've had a bad experience doing something or from someone in the past, a lot of times when you encounter that, automatically our mind goes back, right, to that event, to that person. And so how many know that it's not always the same every time, right? In most cases, fear is just made up in our mind. It's a figment of our imagination. It's in our minds. It's a non-reality, but we live like it is. So what do we do with fear? Seems like we have three logical options set before us here today. Number one, we can be ruled by fear. We can become a slave of fear and allow it to dictate what we do in life. Or secondly, we can rule over it. We can master it. Paul himself wrote and said, I will not be mastered by anything. And I believe that's a good philosophy for us here today, to realize that through Jesus Christ, guess what? We will not be mastered by anything else. But there is a third option, and that's to eliminate fear. But I think that's kind of a false conclusion. I think the only way you're not going to be touched or tempted to fear is to be dead. And I don't think any of us want to take the third option at this moment in time, right? And so I believe we're either going to be ruled or mastered by fear, or we're going to master and rule fear. Fear is a very human reaction, is it not? Every one of us in this room have experienced, and there are healthy fears. How many know that? That if you're going to go walk close to a cliff, guess what? There's a healthy fear, right, of, you might fall over if you get too close, right? Most of us are drivers in this house, and most of us have had some scary moments in a vehicle. And how many know that there is some healthy fear that when I've driven a lot of vehicles, I've driven school buses, and there's nothing worse with a bunch of kids in a bus, and you feel that bus beginning to slide on a slippery road. Whew, man, it's a healthy fear. Slow down, right? So there are healthy fears that help us and protect us. But today we're going to kind of focus on some unhealthy fears. And what are we going to do about those fears in our life? So how we respond to the temptation of fear depends on the depth of our faith. All right? So faith and fear have a lot in common. And they are opposites, yes. But they're very closely related. Because you're either going to have faith or you're going to have fear. So when faith is weak or non-existent, fear becomes the controlling factor rather than faith. We begin to live by sight and not by faith, right? Isn't it supposed to be the other way around? We live by faith and not by sight. And that's in 2 Corinthians. In Hebrews 11:6, you know this. You can start quoting it. It says, without faith, it is impossible to please God, right? Because anyone who comes to him, and that's the secret, who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. So if we're going to overcome the fears in our lives, guess what? We're going to have to come to him. We're going to have to seek him. And I believe that he is going to reward us in that area of having faith over fear. President Franklin D. Roosevelt kind of gave us a definition of fear during the Great Depression in his inauguration speech. And many of you will recognize this speech. Some of you might even have been there, I don't know. Anybody been there? All right, we'll move on. Oh, I stepped in that one, didn't I? All right. So first of all, his speech went, let me assert by my firm belief that the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. But look what he says here. He kind of defines, he kind of qualifies what he's saying. Fear is what? Nameless? How many of us feared for something we couldn't even put a name to it? It's unreasoning. It's against common sense. It's unjustified terror which paralyzes needed efforts to convert retreat into advance. As believers today, we are to what? To advance. We are to walk in victory, right? We are to be overcomers. That's what the Bible says. But yet fear can convert that into something that God never planned. He didn't call us to be failures. He called us to be victors. So a lot of times when we think of fear and some of the things that we fear, it's actually a misinterpretation. I came across this, and it's kind of interesting. Someone wrote this and said, you're not scared of the dark, you're scared of what is in it. You're not afraid of heights, you're just afraid of falling. You're not afraid of the people around you, you're afraid of rejection. You're not afraid to love, you're just afraid of not being loved back. You're not afraid to let go. You're just afraid to accept the fact it's gone. You're not afraid to try again. You're just afraid of getting hurt for the same reason. So it kind of puts it in a little bit of perspective for us here today. The things that we fear are really not really the things that we're fearing. Are you with me? All right. Eight possible causes for fears. Where does your mind go when you feel pain? Right? When you feel pain in your body somewhere, we allow fear to take control. When we've been hurt, what? We put up some walls, don't we? We guard from being hurt again. There's loss is a possible cause. If you've lost an individual in your life that was important to you, you may be going through fear. How many of you have ever lost a job? That's a very fearful time, is it not? It creates loss in our life. Fear is also caused by non-gain, which means you're not going anywhere. You're running around in circles. You're spinning your wheels. You kind of feel stuck. That can create fear in our lives. Extinction. Death. A lot of people are afraid of dying. And even as believers, when we say we're not afraid to die, but when we get toward the end, that fear of the unknown, right? The fear of the unknown can cause fear. Uncertainty. A lot of times we do not step out in faith. We hold back because of uncertainty, the fear of risk. Failure, disillusionment. How many know that we fail forward, right? Right? We get back up, we try again. Conditional. We're conditioned to fear. We train ourselves to be afraid. A lot of times what we do is we open the door for fear, not just in one area of life, but multiple areas of our life. And it can be genetic, and we're going to kind of look at that here in a minute. It can be passed on. It can be something that you pick up from your parents. It could be something that's passed on from generation to generation. So I just want to talk about phobias a little bit here today. There are over 500 phobias that are listed and given official names. That's a lot of phobias. One individual qualified the fear of anything and everything qualifies as a phobia. That's crazy, isn't it? Therefore, making a nearly endless list. So we could have a fear of sitting in a chair, walking across the floor, walking up the steps, right? Going to church. Some people have a fear of going to church. Sorry for you online. All right. Some of the phobias that I kind of have gone through in my own life, and I'm going to kind of share them with you here a little bit. I cannot pronounce most of them, all right? But I have defined them for you there. All right. Give me my list. All right. I don't know about you, but I fear pain. Yay. Hallelujah. I don't like it. How many like pain? No pain, no gain, right? You can keep the gain. You can keep the pain. All right. The next one, fear of men, right? Sometimes the fear of men, a lot of us suffer from this because what we do is when we get around a certain group of people, we feel uncomfortable, do we not? We don't kind of fit in. Maybe how many of you would feel good at going to a conference on physics? How many would fit right in there and just feel like, yeah, I'm at home? No, most of us are like, man, I am out of the water here. The rich, the famous, right? How many of you would feel comfortable hanging around a bunch of rich folks? A bunch of famous people, right? How about you like to hang around a bunch of really good-looking people, like I'm doing here today? See, I have a fear here today because you're so good-looking, all right? Got to dig myself out of some of this stuff here. All right. Next slide. You like that? Hadephobia. Fear of hell. You know, this one's good for the church. I think we need to have a fear of hell. You know, this is one of the things I grew up, I wasn't a perfect person growing up walking with the Lord, but I tell you what, when you think of what hell's like, I don't want to be there. I mean, it helps keep you on the straight and narrow, trust me. All right? Fear of failure. That's a lot of people. I've tried it once. I'm not going to try it again. I failed at it. Right? Fear of failure. Fear of... Yes. Right? I'm not so much heights because I can look out when I'm high up. But when you look over, how many of you know what I'm talking about? Right? Fear of speaking in public or trying to speak. Some of you are naturals, and some of us are not so natural when it comes to this. All right? Public speaking. Next. I don't know if there is a next. Is there? Oh, BCO-phobia. I don't have this. Fear of gaining weight. All right? All right. Phonophobia. How many like to hear their own voice? Recorded. Right? A lot of people don't. Have it maybe on your answering machine, your voicemail, right? You listen to your voice and say, ah. It doesn't sound the same in your own ears as listening to you on a recording, does it? Right? One of the things that they told us was, you know, to help you in your preaching, your public speaking, listen to yourself. I don't listen to myself because I have that, all right? And when I have listened to it, I was astonished how good I was. All right. So I don't suffer from humblephobia, all right? I don't do that. So some of these, this list here is some of the things that I've dealt with in my own life, and you have your own phobias. Some of them may have been on the screen, and you can go on there and look up a list of phobias, and you can go on forever figuring out some of the things that maybe have influenced and touched your life and impacted you, maybe in a negative way. But there are things that we overcome. Some of these things I have overcome. Some of these things I'm working through still. And I'm encouraging you today to look deep within you, because we all have some things that we are struggling with. And we all need to overcome in these areas. There are some things in our life that are just blatant fears. They're very obvious. And then, of course, there are those subtle fears that we kind of haven't dealt with, those things that we kind of think, well, they're not really hindering me. But yet, if we would bring them before the Lord, he might show us some things, and he might show us that we're actually wrong. Because he wants us what? Free. Whom the Son has set free, right? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty, right? He wants you to be free. He doesn't want you to be held back in any area of your life by any kind of fear. So what's our text? It's only one verse here today. 2 Timothy 1:7, the NIV says, "For the Spirit God gave us." How many know that if you're born again, you have the Spirit of God in you? "For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid or fearful, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline." The New Living Translation reads this, and it's more familiar for most of us. "For God has not given us a spirit of fear or timidity." Or that word actually means phobia. "He has not given us any phobias, but of power, love, and self-discipline." So both of these translations kind of are describing the same thing here today. We know that. But fear is not given by the Spirit of God. That's what I want you to understand here today. But it is created and driven by a spirit. But it is not God's spirit. So this is where we need to figure out, what spirit am I being driven by? What spirit am I living my life by? If we go to Genesis chapter 3, we see it in the very beginning. In Genesis chapter 3, verse starting with verse 8, we see fear entering the earth. "When the cool evening breezes were blowing, the man and his wife heard the Lord God walking about in the garden. So they hid from the Lord God among the trees. Then the Lord God called to the man, 'Where are you?' He replied, 'I heard you walking in the garden, so I hid. I was afraid because I was," what? You said that in church? because I was naked. Verse 11, who told you that you were naked? The Lord God asked, have you eaten from the tree whose fruit I commanded you not to eat? So we see here that fear is seen here for the first time in this scripture as a result of disobedience and sin. Adam said he was afraid because he was naked, because he was exposed. Nakedness is a symbolic of the exposure of places in our lives that are not surrendered to God. So if there's some areas that we are fearful in, we have not allowed God permission to work in that area of our life. We know the story. One tree produced life, eternal life. One tree produced the knowledge of good and evil, and it only had the appearance of godliness and God's likeness. It was not a reality. We have a choice here today, right? Of what tree we're going to eat from. The devil told Eve, you will be like God. And that's a temptation that we all face here today, that we want to take the reins from God and control our own lives. And if we are going to take control, guess what? There are going to be fears that come into our lives. There is a secret. What we've done is we have exchanged God's presence for fear. God responded to Adam and said, who told you? Who? Isn't that curious? Who? Who told you? It wasn't God's spirit that gave him a revelation, that gave him that knowledge. Because we know that the serpent is also called the devil, according to Revelation chapter 12, 9. Satan is the author of fear. When we allow fear into our lives, we are giving what? Place to the devil. We're giving place to the devil. So I'm on my conclusion. And everybody said? Amen. But it's a long conclusion, so. It's 2 pages long, so don't get too happy. All right. Surrendering to fear is a common temptation for all of us. It is common to every one of us. But the truth is, temptation is not a sin, correct? We understand that. Temptation is not a sin. That whatever in the backyard, right? You need to store up food. You need to store up water. Remember those things, right? Remember when the planets were going to line up? Disaster. It's never happened. It's going to happen. Fear, right? Fear all around us. Fear, like faith or belief, amounts to nothing unless we allow it to master us. How many were mastered at that time by that fear that was being propagated? Even within the church. There was church leaders saying you need to prepare. Amen? Fear in most cases is a lie, is it not? It isn't. And we know that the devil is a liar and the father of lies. John 8:44. So fear is an anxious feeling caused by anticipation of some imagined event or experience. There was a story of a pastor who needed to confront an individual who was causing conflict in the church. But the pastor confided in his wife, which was a mistake, that he was afraid to speak to the troublemaker because every time I think about that person, I get sweaty palms, and every time I have to confront someone, my mouth goes dry. And you know what his wife's advice was? Well, why don't you just lick your palms? I could picture my wife saying that. So the only way to defeat the spirit of fear is to face it with the power of God. For the Spirit of God gave us that the Spirit that God for the Spirit, I know I can get it right. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us fearful or timid, but what gives us power, love, and self-discipline. 1 John 4:18 says, there is no fear in what? In love. But perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment, has to do with bad consequences, right? The one who fears is not made perfect in love. And God is what? Love. So if there are some things in our life that we're struggling with, that we're fearful over, these phobias that are maybe controlling our life, guess what? We're not walking in the perfect love of God, in that relationship that he desires. Fear may make frequent appearances in our life, but there are 100+ scriptures that tell us that what we are not to give in to fear. Isn't that good news? The scriptures encourage us to trust God. So we can entrust God's word here today. So as we close here this morning, let me just say this, if you'll come. Fear is actually a diversion from God. It's a diversion from God. Because what do? When we fear, we concentrate, we think on, we ponder, right? Our mind is like a broken record, keeps playing it over and over again. Fear is a diversion from God. And fear locks out our potential. I believe that a lot of us, I'll even say all of us, have some areas in our life I believe that God would love us to deal with if we would allow him, if we would give him permission to speak into our lives. We are not to allow the spirit of fear, timidity, these phobias, to have control of our lives. So, I can't give an altar call and say, who wants to be delivered from heights? Who wants to be free from the fear of spiders? And there's some of you in here, right? But that's where you allow God's Spirit to speak to you. Not just today, but as we move forward to begin to say, Lord, what are some of the things that I am hindering you from doing in my life because? And I'm not just talking about doing ministry. I'm not just talking about, but I'm talking about being the best believer that you can be, the best father, the best employee, the best student, the best whatever. What fears are holding you back, controlling you? You know, we give permission a lot of times for people and circumstances to dictate what goes on in our lives. God wants us to be free. Father, we just come in an attitude of prayer here today. I pray, Lord, as we just kind of laid a foundation here today, Lord, that, Lord, it's things we wrestle with in our lives, Lord. Some of the things that I put up on that screen, Lord, are some things that I've worked through. There are some things that I have to continue to work on and push through because I'm tempted to go back and live in those fears. But, Lord, you want me to be free in those areas. Just like you want everybody in this room to be free in the areas where they have phobias, that maybe they're a little bit too timid, a little bit backward. Lord, you gave us the Spirit of God to make us bold. He gave us the Spirit of God to empower us, to give us the ability to love, an ability to have self-discipline, and or as some scriptures say, a sound mind. And so, Lord, some of us need a sound mind where we can take control of our thoughts instead of allowing those fears to continually run without being stopped. Lord, today teach us, Holy Spirit, to take our thoughts into captivity. Urge us to get into the Word of God in these areas that maybe we're struggling in, that we might be empowered by the Word of God. Because the Bible says that the Word of God is living, it's powerful. And we want to experience that in our lives, Father. How many of you would be honest this morning and just say, I have some phobias? We raise our hand just quick. You don't have to hold it up. We all struggle with some things, don't we? We do. And so we're going to have a message next week. It goes along with this one, but we have the good news in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For we have God's Spirit. Today, Lord, we are thankful today for the Holy Spirit. We are thankful for the empowerment that is invested in us. I pray today, Lord, that we would step out in faith coming in this next coming week, Lord, just to kind of say, Lord, show me some of these areas that I need to be empowered with. Lord, show me some of these areas that, Lord, I need to overcome in, that you want me to overcome in, that you want me to be victorious in. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. How many know God wants us to be complete? He does. He does. The Bible says we are to move on to perfection. That's a scary thought, isn't it? To maturity. And so I encourage you, allow the Holy Spirit in your prayer time. Just stop talking for a few minutes in your prayer time and just say, Lord, show me some areas in my life that I need to work on, or that you would like to work on in me. Amen.